good? How many of you can just raise your hands up that you've seen the goodness of God, that you've seen it in your life, that you've seen it in this place, that we've seen healings and miracles. We've seen families restored. We've seen lives restored. He is so good. And I'm just so honored to be in his presence. So if you would all pray with me. Father, we thank you for this night and for every single person that's put down the things that they could have done tonight to come hungry, to receive your word, and they come with great expectations that you're here in our midst and that you have a message to deliver to each and every listener. We're so thankful for you, Father. You are so faithful, and we thank you that your word has free course and is glorified in this place. Glorified, meaning that it can get in every nook and cranny of our heart, Lord, that hearts are prepared to receive the word that goes forward today, and that change will be evident based on what people have grasped, captured, and utilized in their lives. Father, I just thank you for the Holy Ghost. I could not do this without you, and I'm just so thankful that you're with us, that you're for us, you're helping us be good receivers, and you're helping me speak your word to benefit your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I am a teacher by trade, so that's my day job. And when I was preparing for this message, well, first of all, let me say, this message is called Assessing the Proficiency of Our Faith. And when I was preparing for this message, and I knew it would be on faith, I was just having a little chit-chat with God, like, really? You want me to preach in Pastor Mike Anderson's church about faith? Because I just don't think anybody does it better. What we have in our midst on a weekly basis with Pastor Mike, I hope that you know and that you honor the gift that he is, because people are starving for what we know, what we hear, how to receive the word of God and how to change our lives and the lives of others with the word of God. It's amazing. So I had that little chit-chat with God, and he just had to explain to me two things, that when the word goes forth, people are blessed, and that he's with me up here. So praise God. We're going forward preaching on assessing our proficiency in the faith. So part of what I do at my job is I teach 7th grade Spanish. And I'm very familiar with the word proficiency. That's what I want. I want my students to stand in front of native speakers or in front of their peers and be able to communicate in a language other than English. And that's what I spend my days doing. Well, what I need to do is not only teach them, give them instruction, but also, do they have the ability to apply it? And how would a student know how to apply it if I didn't give them opportunity to apply it? And in our lives, we have so much opportunity in order to apply the gift that God gave us, which is our faith. But how do we assess it? And why is that important? Because if I said to my kids, to my students, we're going to have a test today, isn't that great? They would be like, I mean, half of them would be like wetting their pants, and some of them would be crying because they're afraid. Why are they afraid? Because they're afraid of failing. But there's something called a formative assessment. And it's not like an end of the unit assessment. It's not the end of the year assessment. It's, I'm going to assess your learning as we go, because if you're not able to apply this here, I need to make sure that this is in you before we go forward. So it's like as we're going, as we're teaching, as we're instructing, as you guys are applying this, let's just hone in our skills so that every student reaches proficiency. And that's the goal of today's service. So I'm not going to teach you everything that there is about faith, certainly not. But Pastor Mike spends his ministry focused on the area of faith. So tonight, we're having a test. So if you guys would turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 13:5. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Says, actually, I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. I'm sorry, Kim Lai. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. Examine and test and evaluate your own selves to see that whether you're holding to your faith and showing the proper fruits of it. As we look at this exam, as we look at this test, our grade is really our fruits. What fruits are we producing with our faith? Are we able to produce much fruit, fruit that is abounding in our lives and spilling over into all the lives of others? Or do we have small fruits? Or do we have no fruits? So tonight, I just want you to really reflect on how you're applying your faith, where you're applying your faith, and what is the fruit of our faith? Because every single one of us should be able to get the same results that Jesus got. And that sounds crazy. Wait a minute. Jesus, he was actually Jesus. What do you mean that we're going to get the same results? We have the same word. We have the same authority on this earth, and we should be getting the same results. Now, that's something that we have to grow in our skill level in order to achieve, right? But isn't that why we're here? Isn't that what we want? Yes. So going back to this scripture, showing the proper fruits of it, test and prove yourselves. And then it says in parentheses, not Christ. And I just love this because we're not proving, like, it's not Jesus that's on trial here if he's good at what he does. He is. It's not God on trial. Is God faithful to perform his word? John told us in the offering, he is. He sent his word and it will accomplish that which he, that the purpose in which he sent it for, right? Yes. No, but it's us. It's our faith that's tested. It's our faith that needs to be evaluated, and it's our faith that either produces fruit or produces no fruit. So in the Bible, when we look, there's so much to be said about faith, and there's people of great faith, and there's people of little faith, and there's people of dead faith, right? And there's Abraham was strong in faith, and we see others that were not so strong in their faith. And tonight, we need to learn, how are we going to produce more fruit with our faith? So faith is a gift from God, and it's he gave it to us so that we know how to receive from him. It's the only thing that allows us to receive from him. In other words, if we're not applying faith, if we're not in faith, first of all, we're not pleasing him, and second of all, we're not receiving from him. Imagine how heartbreaking it would be to be God the Father, sent us Jesus, gave us authority on this earth, gave us the force of faith, and to watch his children struggle and suffer and be tormented. It would be heartbreaking because he's done everything that he's going to do. Faith is our part. Faith is our part. So we're going to look at some faux faith fails. What do I mean faux faith? I mean people think that they're in faith, but it's faux. It's not real, right? So these are hindrances to our faith because we actually believe that we're doing the right thing, that we're moving forward with the word or with God. But these are some slip-ups. There's some trip-ups because we have wrong thinking. So the first one that we're going to talk about is mental faith. Mental faith. Other authors might call it mental agreement or even mental assent. Mental faith is not faith, and it doesn't produce fruit. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. If faith is how we receive from God, mental faith is counterfeit. It might look like it. It might sound like it. It ain't it. So let's talk about salvation. Maybe somebody's been sitting in the church their whole life, and they've heard about salvation. They've heard about this man named Jesus that walked the earth perfect and then died on a cross, rose again, ascended to heaven, and still they know how it worked, and yet they haven't received salvation, and they're not saved. Well, how could that be? Because knowing it in your head, being able to recite scripture, even being able to have right confessions about faith, is not faith. Why? I'll tell you why. Because faith is in two places. Let's look where it should be. If you'll go with me to Romans 10, we're going to go verses 8 through 10. Romans 10, verses 8 through 10. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. It's in the mouth and it's in the heart. Faith is birthed in your heart. How is faith birthed? How does faith come? By hearing and hearing the word of God. You hear the word of God, it's birthed in your heart, and it's released or activated with your mouth. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou will be saved. It has to be in your heart. If someone only has it in their head and they confess it, people don't get saved that way. It has to be in your heart and come out of your mouth. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. If we're going to believe God for anything, we can't believe him in our minds and think that that's going to be enough. We have to get it in our heart. Faith has to be birthed in our heart and released in our mouth. And that's how faith works. Let me tell you a little portion of my testimony that's not widely talked about. I started going to Pastor Tim's church. Pastor Tim, what a wonderful pastor. He's such a great teacher. And he, one service, and this was, I don't know, probably 2007 or 8, something like that. One service, he talked about the infilling of the Holy Ghost, how to be filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And my head went on tilt. Like, I did not understand how that could possibly be. How could that work? I've never even heard of this. What do you mean? This is weird. All the thoughts. But one thing I know about Pastor Tim is he's a stickler for the word. He does not say it from the pulpit if he can't back it up with the word. So when I walked out of service, back in the day, you could buy the CD on the way out of service. So I bought the CD, and Pastor Tim had this like whole packet of like study materials as you were walking out the door. And I got the study packet, and I'm looking over the verses. I just couldn't figure it out in my head. I mean, I must have listened to that CD like 5 or 6 times. Finally, I went back, and Pastor Mike Anderson was the associate pastor there. And I went up to Pastor Mike after service, and I was like, listen, about this whole Holy Ghost thing, like, I want that, but I don't know. And he's like, oh, okay. And so he gets Pastor Courtney, and we all go in his office. And he said, are you sure you want this? Yes. Yes, I am. And he's like, and I was telling him, I listened to the CD, and I went over the scriptures, and I know what the study guide says, and I, da, da, da. And he's like, okay, well, then here you go. And he laid his hand on my forehead, and he said, be filled in Jesus' name. And he and Pastor Courtney took off speaking in tongues. And I just stood there. What seemed like a long time. And I was just so in my head. And I guess I have to explain a little bit of my background. I grew up in a household where my stepfather was fluent in 5 languages. And I never knew which language he was going to speak to me. Was it French? Was it Portuguese? Was it Spanish? I don't know. And I was just like, oh my gosh. And he was a professor at St. Bonaventure, so he'd have the whole modern languages department over, and then they would talk to me. And they wanted me to talk back to them. And I thought, oh dear Lord, if I'm just, I think this is how I learned to be quiet. I'll be quiet in English and in Spanish, French, Portuguese, Italian, any language you want to speak to me, I'll just smile and nod. And so I was really in my head about somebody standing in front of me speaking to me a foreign language. And Pastor Mike was telling me that I was just going to know and start speaking this language. And I was so freaked out about it. And I was so in my head that I did a thing that I've since repented for. And I just started saying a Spanish tongue twister that my foreign exchange students taught me. And I was like, samba kutirikutamba lavativa. Okay, no, like this is from Bolivia and they teach me how to say supercalifragilisticexpialidocious in Spanish. So I'm like, samba kutirikutamba lavativa kumba kumba kutirikuta. And I'm like, going with it. And Pastor Mike thinks that I'm filled with tongues, and I know that I just lied to my pastor. And I said, thank you very much, and then I left. So, the point of my story is, I was so in my head that I didn't release my faith for what God said is mine. The infilling of the Holy Ghost is for anyone who will believe, anyone that will have faith for it. And when I did get filled with the Holy Ghost, nobody laid hands on me. It was just me in my room because I needed to get out of my head and just say, Lord, if you said this is true, then it's true and I'm going to receive it. And that's what it took for me because I needed to get out of my own way. But my point is, you cannot receive from God in your head. It's good if your head agrees with the word of God so it's not booting what the word is telling you to do out of your life. But that's not where faith lives, and we can't pretend that it is for long. Because eventually Pastor Mike did know that I wasn't filled, and we had to have a little chit-chat about it. So, confessions. So we know that faith has to be in the heart, and then it's released through our mouth. That's how it happens. And we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. That's how it comes. There's no other way to get faith. We can't pray for more faith. No, we receive it. God wants us to have it, and we get it from learning from him. Our minds are fickle. If we did cling to the word of God, the next thing that our senses saw or that happened in our life would just go to that thing because that's way more believable to our minds than just a word. But God knew, if I give them faith in their heart, it's anchored there. It's not fickle. It's not changing. And it doesn't matter what the natural says. So mental faith can easily be overshadowed by unbelief because our mind is affected by our senses. But the word of God gives us instructions to developing our faith in our heart. The second thing that I see that people might struggle with is how we see ourselves. How we see ourselves reveals if we are in faith and if we will receive what God says is ours. Turn with me to Proverbs 4:20. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Verse 21, let them not depart from thine eyes and keep them in the midst of your heart. 22, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. I love this scripture and I read it so many times. But when I was preparing for this message, I saw it a different way. We have to make sure that we're hearing God's sayings, that we're inclining our ear. There's so many voices out there. There's so much that our eyes could be looking at. We need to keep it focused on him, right? Inclining our ear to his words and let his words not depart from our eyes. We have to make sure our eyes are on what God said is true. The reason why people fail in this case is because they see themselves failing. They see themselves sick. They see themselves living in poverty, dealing with lack. They feel themselves and see themselves suffering. And they see themselves dying before they die. The word says himself, meaning Jesus, took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. If we keep those words in front of our eyes, we'll see ourselves healed. So how we see ourselves affects whether we're in faith or not. Do we see ourselves in the word in us, us in the word in us? That's how we need to see ourselves. If we're living in desperation, if we're dealing with something contrary to the word, then our eyes have departed, and we need to bring them back onto what God said is true. That's where our faith lives. That's when we will receive from God. So we need to see ourselves with the answer. Even if the natural's getting worse, we see our answer. What are your eyes on, and how do you see yourself? An evil report is a report that departs from the Word of God. Evil report. Have you guys ever heard that before? Yes, you have. Where? Numbers 13. When the Israelites were in the wilderness and they sent out the spies and the spies came back and they came back with an evil report because God's word said the promised land is theirs and they said, we can't have it. And that was an evil report. Let me give you another example. I heard a testimony of a woman that had had an area on her breast that the doctors were concerned about. So she went in for an ultrasound. And the technician's there, and the screen's set up, and they get it all set up, and the technician points and says, this right here, this lump, that's what we're concerned about. And the woman just cried out to God, and she said, if only I wouldn't have seen it. If only I wouldn't have seen it. And God spoke in her heart and said, is what you see greater than what I say? She was like, what, Lord? Is what you see greater than what I say? She was so convicted. She responded, no, Lord. No, Lord, forgive me. What I see is not greater than what you say. What you say is greater than what I see. And when she responded, a circle of light came onto the screen. And it kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller until it was over the very tumor and it disappeared. When she did that, when she got her heart right and got back into faith, that's when she received. She couldn't possibly have received her healing from God believing, oh, this cancerous tumor is gonna take me out. She had to see herself healed, see herself in line with the word, and that's how our faith will work for us as well. She decided that there was no greater thing than the word of God. She saw herself according to the word. You know, going back to the Israelites, when did they march into Jericho? When they saw themselves the way that God said it was. And they marched around Jericho, and they shouted, and they sang praises about who their God was, knowing full well who they were in God. They will occupy the promised land because God said so. They saw themselves according to God's word, and they had it. We know that Abraham became strong in faith, giving glory to God because he saw himself as a father the way that God saw him. We must constantly affirm that the Lord has heard our prayer because the word says so, and the promise of the word will be fulfilled. Our faith brings the power of God to our situations, and the natural situations will have to change according to God's word and our faith applied. So what does God say? That's the only thing we are to believe. Our words must align with God's words, and that's all we're allowed to say about it. We're not speaking doubt or fear. We're not overcome when the natural circumstances don't change. The word is enough. The third place where people might fall short in applying their faith is when faith is not acted upon. Faith not acted upon is simply not faith. If we believe that the word of God is true, then we'll act on it. Turn with me to Mark 11, 22 and 23. I'm sure you all are familiar with this scripture. And Jesus answering them said, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe all those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. This scripture tells us we need to believe. If we don't believe, then we don't have faith. But it's more than that. It's action. And in this case, saying is acting on the word. Declaring things that'll be changing. It is speaking those things which be not as though they are. Isn't that what faith is? And in the beginning, God said, light be, and it was. So God believed himself. He had the faith of God. He is God. And he spoke. That was the action. You know, sometimes our life circumstances take more than just us speaking. There's times that we need to believe and speak because that's all we can do. Maybe the situation has nothing to do with us. There's nothing in our power that we could do to change it. Our confession and our faith alone can change it. There are other times when we have a bit more responsibility than that. So next place I want you to go is James 2:17 and 18. James 2:17 and 18. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Faith without works is dead. Yea, a man can say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Faith without works is dead. We have to put action behind our faith. You know, one of my daily confessions is, I have unction from the Holy One, and I know all things. And I love the Holy Ghost. But since John came on the scene, it's even shown me more that there. Have you guys noticed in our testimony that John knew about us 2 years before I knew? I mean, so no, I totally changed my confession. I was like, no. I have an unction from the Holy One, and I know all things because I'm going to hone in on my spirit, and I'm not going to miss what the Spirit's saying. This is my daily confession, right? But my words for my confession, they're backed by my actions every day. My words line up with God's word, and my faith is activated by when I speak them, but there's more. Because I believe those words, I get in the word. I meditate on it. I fellowship with God. I pray in tongues. Because I'm not just confessing that God's going to do it, and God's going to do it, and God's going to do it, and God's going to do it. I know that faith is my part, and my actions have to back up and tell God that I believe it. And he's faithful. Just as a student, if they were starting out a semester and they said, I'm going to get a 4.0 this semester. I'm going to have a 4.0 GPA. And then they didn't go to class. And then they didn't do their work. Or they didn't do excellent work. There's no way that they believed in their heart that they were going to receive what they spoke they were going to receive. That's the same thing. When we have faith and we make a confession, we need to know that we're doing the part that we can do and that we're putting action behind it, or else we'll lose our belief, and then we're not in faith. So faith is birthed in the heart, released in the mouth, and has to be backed by action. The fourth thing that can keep people out of faith is needing greater evidence in order to believe. This is a big one. Lord, I know that this is what the inward leading says, or I know this is what the word says, but can you just give me something more? I need something more to believe. That's not faith. Go with me to Matthew 8. Matthew 8, and we're going to start in verse 5. And we're going to just track with this story. So we're reading verses 5 through 13. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Speak thy word only, and my servant shall be healed. These words have been stirring in my heart, stirring in my heart, stirring in my heart. Speak thy word only. You do understand if Jesus was on the earth, this man was not born again. So here's some born again man, or not born again man, that was saying, Jesus, if you speak it, it'll be done. If you speak it, that's all I need. He understood his authority and he applied it. He said, for I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. And Jesus heard it, and he marveled. Verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. So if the centurion was able to impress Jesus with his faith, what's our excuse? We can believe God. We can believe his word only. When I came to Pastor Mike's church in 2014, I had been away from the church for several years. Well, family. I've been away from family church for several years. And I was in not a good place in life, and I was sick embodied. And I came in, sat for service, and then out the door. And he came out to my vehicle as I was buckling up, and he said, we need to talk. I have something that I really want to talk to you about. Please call me this week. Yeah, okay, Pastor. No, I didn't. When I finally worked up the gumption to call him, it had been two or three services. And what he told me was that when he saw my face, the scripture came up about a sheep without a shepherd. When Jesus had compassion on the people because they were dejected, harassed, bewildered, like sheep without a shepherd. That's what Pastor Mike told me. Some people think, that's kind of harsh. That's love. My pastor was saving my life that day. If you guys know my testimony, you know that I was struggling with debilitating asthma, every asthma attack getting worse and worse and worse, and it was out of control. My pastor saved my life that day. You better believe I knew that he was my pastor and that I was going to hook up and never look back. It matters. Some people are overlooking like the supernatural, because they're looking for something spectacular. My pastor changed my life with one scripture. For real, the whole course of my life with one scripture. How many people go to Pastor Mike with an issue and ask him a question, and then Pastor Mike tells them the word, and they're like, that wasn't glorious. That wasn't sparkly. Where's the confetti on this? And I don't even know if you helped me. You told me one scripture. We need to understand the way that God works. The word of God is enough. It's enough. We have to make sure we don't walk past our help, because it's not glamorous. It is supernatural. The last thing, people wait for God to do it. We're waiting on God to do it. We're praying about it. We're bringing it before him. We're waiting on God to do it. No. Jesus gave us the authority on the earth. Jesus, when he was on the cross, said, "It is finished." And he accomplished his part on the earth, and faith is our part. We must take our authority and use our faith. I have so many scriptures about authority to share with you, but we just don't have the time, but I'll tell you this. Brother Hagin shares his testimonies about how he learned to be skillful in the faith. One of the stories that he tells is that he prayed for his brother Dub to be saved for 15 years. For 15 years, he brought it before God. He was preaching the word all over the United States of America, and believing that God would work in Dub's life and that Dub would receive salvation because he was living wrong and his life was messed up. For 15 years, off and on, Brother Hagin would fast and pray, waiting for the situation to change, until one day he understood his authority. He began to trust God. He said, I take the name of Jesus and I break the power of the devil over Deb's life. And I claim his deliverance and salvation in the name of Jesus. Within 10 days, Deb was saved and his life was changed. I've also heard a testimony of Norval Hayes, who is a famous faith preacher. And I just love these foundations of faith that we can just learn on their experiences, draw on their experiences, and it doesn't take us a whole lifetime to develop in the faith the way that it might have taken them so long. Norval Hayes' daughter had these growths on her hands, and they would have them surgically removed, but it wouldn't take long until they were back, and she was just a teenager. And, you know, I'm assuming it wouldn't be very easy to go to high school every day when you had these ugly growths on your hands, and he was just heartbroken about it. So he brought it before the Lord for 3 years. For 3 years. For 3 years. He didn't let go, which kudos for that, but he also wasn't skillful in faith, or else he wouldn't have had to bring it before the Lord for 3 years. One day the Lord said to him, "How long are you going to put up with this?" "What, Lord? I've been praying for you to change this for 3 years. I'm bringing it before you. What do you want from me?" And the Lord showed him, "You take authority over this. You curse those growths and you tell them to go in Jesus' name." And he marched right in her room, and her boyfriend was there, and he did it right in front of the crowd because he's like, "I'm not going to miss this one. I got direction from God and I'm going to act on it." And it took 40 days for those growths to go, but they went. It's time for us to stop waiting for God to do something and to understand our authority and apply our faith. The word of God in our mouth is just as powerful as the word of God in his mouth. We have the authority of the name of Jesus, and we must apply our faith. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. We don't have to accomplish that thing that we're believing for. We just have to believe God for it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the force of faith. We thank you that it's a gift that you gave to us because you wanted us to have access to you, to have access to the things that you've given to us as our inheritance, as your children. We thank you for the encouragement to examine our faith. And if there's an area where we're not seeing fruit, we thank you that you help us become more skillful. We thank you that you are so faithful. You are so faithful. Your word is enough. The force of faith it receives from you every single time. We praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we close this service, I just want to give an opportunity. If you guys would just bow your heads with me and close your eyes. I know every person in this room has already received the gift of salvation, but maybe there's somebody watching on live stream, or maybe there's somebody in the future that's going to listen to this message. Let me just ask you, when you pass from this life, do you know what's next? Do you know where you're going to go? Do you know where you'll spend eternity? We each have the opportunity to spend eternity in heaven with our Lord and King. John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world that he gave us his only son, and whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Tonight we talked about faith must be believing in our heart and confessing with our mouth. So that's what we need to do to be saved. If this is speaking to your heart as you're hearing these words, cry out to God. You don't need somebody to lead you through it. You just need to cry out to God and say, "Lord, I believe in you. I believe you walked this earth perfect. I believe you died on the cross, and after 3 days you rose again, and you are seated at the right hand of God in heaven. I believe in salvation. I believe in your power. I thank you that you are now my Lord and Master. Thank you for saving me." If you have any questions about that, reach out to Pastor Mike. His number and email address are on the website, and we sure do want to help you in your walk with God. If you guys could just stand to your feet and worship with me. Father, we thank you for what we've received. We thank you for what you have for us and the force of faith that you've given us, Father. We thank you for your faithfulness in every area. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.